Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University audio presentation of the month. This monthly CD web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker or business owner shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Why do you continue to buy from a company? Well, most people will say it's because they trust the company, the owner, and/or the employees. When trust is present between the company and the consumer, sales will be a lot easier, your reputation will soar, and you will be the service provider of choice. A company that has earned the trust of its customers will generate 20% higher revenue and significantly higher net profits. This presentation is by Bruce Lee. Bruce has provided numerous presentations for this program and has extensive experience teaching company owners how to coach and retain their team members. Now sit back, relax, and prepare to pick up some pointers on how the positive aspects of trust in the marketplace will increase your company's sales and profits.
This session is about the power of and behind trust that, when fully understood, will help you maintain your current customer base and grow them into more business. And chances are, we can all use more business. Hands up if you need more business and or sales. I'm sure you do. Trust is one of the most important attributes any organization or person can have that is attached to their name. Trust is a company and its people doing what they say they're going to do, doing it on time and on schedule and within the budget that was set. It is not breaking service promises or commitments written or spoken or contracts and the obligations that go with them. Without trust, you have your work cut out for you. With trust, sales will be a lot easier, your reputation will soar, and you'll have the service, you'll be the service provider of choice. Trust will help you achieve your vision, your goals, and your financial numbers. In other words, trust is a prediction of a future outcome. Before we get into the content, though, just a reminder that the full value of this recording is how you share the core ideas after this with others. Think about the ideas and who can benefit the most from hearing them. Ask yourself which idea, which attribute, or skill will, when acted upon, either help you improve your performance or help you improve your employees' performance at the same time, increase your job satisfaction or increase your employees' job satisfaction, and understanding the bottom line, it all goes to increasing customer satisfaction. The reason for this is simple. A company with a highly engaged workforce that really understands what it takes to create and maintain trust in clients as well as coworkers will on average generate a 20% higher revenue and net greater profits. Pretty good reason for doing that. So let's look at trust. Part one, predictions. Whenever we see a product or service, we always make predictions of the usefulness of it for us, or for our people, and for our company, or not be useful for us. That is how the brain is conditioned and functions. It takes in everything it sees and hears and senses and smells, along with emotions, and then compares it to everything it knows, everything we know, to determine its impact. There are a lot of major companies. Sorry. We just trust because of their reputation. They deliver on what they and their product or service says it would do. If I was to ask you, who do you trust, what would be the rationale for it? Previous experience, good marketing materials, great commercials, association with charities, or that they're green because they reduce, reuse, recycle, and they're good for the environment. Then there are the companies that we don't trust whenever we see or hear their name. Why don't we trust them? Because of a bad personal experience or something we saw in the news. Either way, their reputation, the prediction we make of bad service on them, makes it difficult for us to do business with them. Part two, let's create the wow experience. When you're at a prospect's home or office or facility for the first time, you need to create that wow experience. By that I mean, they go, wow, not only is this service good, but he, she saved me money or created real value for me. Not that they think the word value, they feel it. How do they feel it? Well, the best test is when they pay for it. So do they feel it's a good deal, a bargain, fair priced, or overpriced? What will help is the extras you can give them when you're there, such as free advice that will assist them in the future, you know, how to be more effective. For them is write that advice down for them and even ask that they'd like you to follow up on that free advice. Chances are they'll say no, but if they say yes, another contact and another chance for referral. The extra you give away, some time and knowledge, is what's called a lanyap in negotiating terms. What you can give away that will not affect the net of the transaction for you, but yet will increase your reputation. A common thread in creating trust that combines and is customer service, and what it creates is customer satisfaction, and that is to keep the prospect and client happy. So, part three, there are two primary sources that create or destroy trust. Number one is about performance-based trust, and that's what the whole workshop really is about. Performance is measured by how well someone or something does the job with accuracy, is complete, is cost-effective, and timely. When these happen, trust is created. When one or more of these don't happen, trust is lost. The expectations of the prospects or customers are not met. What performance details have you committed to when you turn up at the location, and do you deliver it? We'll get to a lot of these points shortly in the presentation. Number two is relationship-based trust. This means when someone's behavior does not meet the expectation of the other person. Behavior is what people see people do, their actions. This means how they act or perform. So what they do, it is not what we like or expect. As well, add personality to the equation. Some employees are just not people, meaning they should not be in contact with other people, or if they are, only in short controlled doses. If there's no relationship, no business, or maybe reluctantly some business. Think of when you were new into a relationship with someone. There was trust, as they did what they say they would do. They acted how you expected them to act. There was trust. But all of a sudden, one day, they don't do what they say they're going to do or forget to do something they promised they would do. Then there's little trust, which can quickly grow into a big lack of trust and no relationship is possible. I think we've all been there. So, part four, let's talk about the bottom line. Trust is money. In Stephen Covey Jr.'s book, The Speed of Trust, he equates trust to a tax or dividend and gives some pretty good examples, and I encourage you to read the book or at least go online and check it out and some of the other resources I'll mention a little later on. He says, as trust goes down, costs go up. In his example, for example, after 9/11, he said his airport security had to be increased in order to ensure that terrorists didn't strike again, but also to create trust in the airlines and the industry. As a result, if you look at your next airplane ticket, you'll probably see about $40 in additional costs for security procedures. So we have the cost there, but as well, we have to be at the airport earlier. And as we all know, time is money. So there is a real money and time cost that we can measure when it comes to that. What he does say is as a dividend, as trust goes up, costs go down. That can be seen this way. As a product becomes more reliable, there's less servicing required and less warranty work. At work, when we trust employees, there's less supervision and rules and regulations to follow. And I'll support that a little later on. In other words, trust is more important than vision, than strategy, and policies, and training, as without it, the rest really don't mean a thing. When you make your people feel important by recognition and appreciation, by constant feedback of what they do that's right or wrong, good morale boosting events, you will succeed quicker. Understand the greatest management principle, as explained in the book by Michael Leboeuf. Quote, unquote, things that get recognized and rewarded get repeated. Take it a step further. Recognize creativity and initiative by your people. So what it's really saying is the more recognition you give people about what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, done properly, will support their advancement and continuing to be the best they can be for your company and for the customer. How I like to equate that, trust creates energy. And then what that means is when people feel good about themselves, they produce better and perform better. People who feel produced about themselves just perform better. That energy is equated to attitude, which is a positive feeling of contribution, that these people can do anything and everything, and often will. That attitude then creates creativity, which is about bringing their best thoughts and ideas to the work. And what that means is speed, which is about getting things done quicker. And what that means is productivity, which is seeing and getting more done in less time with less resources. And what that equates to, bottom line, is about profitability. So trust is energy, attitude, creativity, speed, and productivity. And productivity comes from giving employees greater responsibility, higher authority, and, of course, requiring accountability. A recent study by the Taleo Research Corporation states that up to 70% of an organization's value is based on the skills, experience, and performance of its employees. So how do you increase all those? Start with a good training apprenticeship program, of course, and by constantly challenging them to become better. Your leadership skills and attitude are critical. Show everyone the vision for the future. Communicate well all the issues, all the challenges and opportunities. Be passionate about the company and them, and be sure to provide the resources to do the job right. Don't set people up for failure. Part five, benefiting from errors is what I call it. Why is it that some companies are so much more successful than others? It is because they consistently deliver on their service promise. So clients just expect more of the same. If they don't deliver on their service promise, these companies practice proven recovery skills that I call Mufudu, mess up, fess up, dress up. Because when you make a mistake and deal with it right now, immediately, as soon as it happened, you not only do not lose the customer in the future and have them badmouth you, but they will tell us about how well you handle the situation. And that is what creates the raving fan, and we all need raving fans because raving fans are free. Raving fans share their trust of you with others. A raving fan is created when you meet and then exceed their service expectation as well. Think about it. Who do you trust and why? Who have you told of your good customer service experience? And more importantly, how many more have you told of your bad customer service experience? So part six is the legacy of bad service, and I think we've all had those, but I want to share a couple of mine. So let me share my bad customer service stories. Last year, I called a plumber in to fix my leaky sink faucet. After checking it out, he told me I needed a new filter, and he could do it for, I thought, a rather high fee, or I could do it. I said I would, and as he left, I paid the high dispatch and travel fee. Turns out I couldn't, and a few weeks later, called him back. This time he said I needed a new fixture as he could not remove the handle, and for another rather high fee he could replace it. I opted to do it myself and paid another of their dispatch and travel fees, of course. And I couldn't remove it myself later, and I tried. A little later, a cousin of mine said he would look at it, and within 5 minutes found that the problem was just a loose connection. He tightened it, and it's worked perfectly for the past 6 months. Will I use that plumber again? No. Will I refer them to anyone? No. Will I tell people my bad experience? Yes. I have an even worse story about a plumber not being able to find a leak in one of my toilets, even after he charged me to replace the internal water tank parts in a visit. And I had to call him back 30 minutes after he left, as it still leaked. After playing with it for another 30 minutes, his conclusion, for an additional $200 service fee and the cost of a new toilet, he could replace the toilet. I said no. As a result, I now know how to replace toilets and do all the line and water connections and can do it pretty darn fast. So, lost the customer for life. Part seven, client retention. I'll take this one step further. So, one of the key bottom lines to trust is client retention. We all lose customers for a myriad of reasons. They move, they die, they don't need the service anymore. But for those that do require the product or service, a 5% increase in customer retention, in other words, not losing 1 out of 20 customers, equals a 25 to 65% increase in profits. That just makes sense. They like you. They trust you. They get your regular email newsletters or snail mail special offers or advice. They remember you and want to do business with you. Trust matters when it comes to client retention. Part eight, referrals. A second and more important way to look at creating and maintaining trust is referrals. People refer others to companies they trust, especially if the product or service saves them money or makes them money or solves a big problem. You earn their trust, and it's not just something they give away freely. You earned it because you did a great job and established a relationship with them. Put another way, you are the solution to their problem, and they want to feel good about putting their trust in you. The first time they may be apprehensive, but it's still trust they put on the line when you walk into their home or business, or you and your technician. And maybe a whole lot of it is tied into your reputation, which just may be your motto, your slogan, or your service offer. What do you say you do, and do you do it well? And if you do, tell the world. Part 9. Well, here's a bonus idea for you. The best way to get a referral, and we can all use referrals, is to give a referral up front. Find out what your prospect and client does, find out what they do, how they do it, and what is the major benefit of their business or service or product to their particular customer. And then give them a referral up front with no expectations back. Who could benefit from their service? I do it all the time, and the eventual payback is significant. It keeps you in touch with them, especially if your referral does business with them. We all know people and companies who like to save money by increasing revenues or cutting costs, don't we? Let's maximize that. Your customer may be the answer to their problem. You also gain the reputation of the company you referred. Everyone wins. Think back to the last time somebody referred you and you did business as a result of it. Felt pretty good about that. Chances are there was very little marketing expense associated with it. Their reputation of you carried the day. So maximize your good reputation. Put those referrals on your website, include in the newsletter, mention the bottom line result to the new client of it, of course, with their permission. Part 10, how to increase revenue. If you increase the number of clients and the average sale to them, as well as the frequency to which they return to you by just 10%, you increase your revenue by 33%. Increase that number to 25% and increase your revenue by 95%. Sounds pretty good to me. And it is a valid statistic. Just look at your key numbers at the end of the year. How have they changed year over year? Better yet, why? So how do you accomplish this increase in business? Ask them. You can advertise and market all you want, spend as much money as you want in a competitive marketplace where many just compete on price, or you can market a quality experience one-on-one in front of your customer, the personal contact that means so much. Part 11, how to increase trust. Now, I call it customer surveys. Another way to build trust is to ensure your delivery people and technicians, your frontline customer contact people, know about how well or how poorly they did in the delivery, the installation, or the service call, so measure it. It doesn't take long to design and test a customer service survey. Just keep it simple, no more than 6 questions, and the rewards will be immense. Customer satisfaction scores go up when employees hear this information. As has been said, what gets measured gets treasured, or what gets measured gets done. So what are you focusing on? You need to know how well you did, especially after your people leave the client, as people may not be honest when you're in front of them. Each identifiable step in the service call is a moment of truth that can make or break the customer loyalty. So each step needs to be measured and allow room for written feedback. Sometimes a yes or a no or a score of 1 to 5 is just not enough. In fact, if you ask the right questions, the customer will tell you how to measure how to do more business with them, with who and when and with what offer to make. Measurement pays. Just do it right. You need to set high expectation goals, high satisfaction goals, and a high mess-up, fess-up, dress-up response time. A 1% increase in customer satisfaction creates a 2.5% increase in revenue. That's why you need to measure customer satisfaction. So I want to shift a bit and just go back to Stephen Covey's junior book called The Speed of Trust. And what I like about it, he gets real clear about why you should create trust. And the topic has been around for a long time, just not under that term. So what he talks about in his book is about, he calls it the 5 waves when it comes to trust. The first wave is about self-trust, which means principle of credibility or principle of competence or talking about goals. And he looks at 4 things. Number 1, integrity. Are you congruent? Are you always honest? Do you walk the talk? And do you have the courage to do what is right all the time? Next part of that is about intent. What is your agenda? Do you really care for the client? Do you play win-win? So what is your real motive for doing something? Because that creates your agenda. Then he looks at capability. So are you relevant? So do you inspire people? Does your real talent, skills, and knowledge get shown and utilized? And are you working from your strengths? And that is so important, is to measure if people are working from the strengths. Because when that happens, productivity goes up dramatically. And the final part about the first wave is about results, which is what's your track record? And do you take responsibility for all the outcomes? He then talks about the second wave, and this is the longest part of the book. He talks about, it's really about relationships and how you treat others, and it's called the 13 Principles of Behavior. When I do this as a workshop and talk about it, the 13 behaviors could be a two-hour workshop just on their own, especially when they're workshop. But let me cover them very quickly with you. In the 13 Principles of Behavior, the first five really are about behavior. So number one is, do you talk straight? Are you always being honest? Do you tell it like it is? Do you have integrity? I like to say, you know, kids are honest. You know, young kids, when a young kid comes up to you and looks at you and says, "Mister, you're ugly," you're ugly. And then kids are told to be quiet and don't speak in front of strangers, and they go to your room and think about what you did, and then they grow up to be adults who don't know how to communicate well, and then you got to take a communications course. But just be honest. You know, when it comes to all of these, you know, if you don't live up to them, that's the quickest way to lose customers. The second part is about demonstrating respect, which is about fairness, kindness, seeing the worth of each person, you know, treating them as equals. Step three is about creating transparency, so open, real, genuine, honest, authentic. Number four is about righting wrongs, and I talked about that earlier, mufudu, which creates loyalty. You can do that by small gifts to help apologize, and it shows you really care about the experience. And number five of the five that are behavior is about, do you show loyalty, integrity, gratitude? Do you give credit where credit is due? In fact, do you go out of your way to give credit so people know that their idea or contributions matter? The second part of the second wave of relationships is about competence. So the next five are about competence. So what that means is, number six, do you deliver results? Take responsibility, accountability, and it's about performance, or not activities. Understanding that things get done, results happen, setting realistic goals, and, of course, establishing a track record. Part seven is about continuous improvement, getting better. So if we do that from feedback, learning from mistakes, and, of course, experiences. And he compares it to when we learn to ski, we have the green, blue, black, and as we get better, we progress up. But if we don't want to get better, we don't progress up. But, of course, how we get to blue and black from green is just to utilize the experience and keep trying and getting up when we fail. Number eight is about confronting reality. So tackling the tough issues head on and addressing sacred cows wherever they may be. Number nine is about clarifying expectations, which really is about communication. So understanding the shared vision, behavior, what we want to accomplish or what we don't want to accomplish, don't make assumptions, and understanding what we can do to get better. And number 10 is about practicing accountability, which is responsibility, stewardship of the organization, ownership of the ideas and results, and not playing the name game. And this all means good, effective communication across the board. And the last part of the second wave is about both behavior and competence. So number 11 is, do we listen first, which is about communication. So as has been said, seek to understand first before acting. So instead of working on your gut feeling, and don't presume to have all the answers or have all the questions. That's why we want to communicate and ask questions, or give the opportunity for people to ask us questions. Number 12 is about keeping commitments. And, of course, when we keep commitments, that's about integrity and competence, which becomes character, which becomes reputation, and that is so important. And number 13 is, do we extend trust? And I understand it's moving trust from a noun to a verb, and understanding that what you give out is what you get back. Then in the five ways, he talks about the third wave, which is really organizational trust, which is a principle of alignment for everybody. So everyone keeps their commitments. Everyone understands the visions and values that reflect trust, and bureaucracy is reduced. The fourth wave is about market trust, which is your principle of reputation. So what people think of you when they hear your name, see you, your vehicle, or your facilities. And then the fifth wave, which is where you're going to see most companies advertise these days, It's called Principle of Societal Trust and Principle of Contribution, and it's really about creating value from others in society, which is what you give back. Or, in other words, it's about being associated with a good cause, a good charity, or you're environmentally responsible, or all of them. So the impact of trust, if there's no trust, we have suspicions, hidden agendas, capabilities are questioned, track record is faulty, we make assumptions and misinterpret, people are manipulated, that creates failure. But when we have trust, it creates confidence, integrity, abilities, and really guarantees us success. Now, if you go to Stephen Covey's website, www.speedoftrust.com, you can take a personal credibility questionnaire, and it will rate you things on integrity, intent, capability, results. Do others trust you? So it talks about character and competence, and you might be surprised by that. So your personal credibility index is important. And then you can also send that to your suppliers or people you know and have them rate you, and they'll rate you on the same thing, and it is free. You might enjoy that. And I just like to say, P.S., The Speed of Trust by Stephen Covey, which came out in 2005, is more or less an updated version of his dad's book that came out in 1990 called Principle-Centered Leadership. And what I like about that, it says principle-centered, which means focused on you. And if you are trustworthy, it extends out. That's the bottom line. You. Because what you give out is what you get. So I created an acronym for trust. T is a time for feedback, and I mentioned that a couple times. Why that's so important? Feedback of the employee, feedback from the customer. So how you measure, then what gets measured, gets treasured, gets done, gets improved upon. R is for respect and rapport. Respect for the customer, respect for the employee. Rapport, which is about communication, how you treat things, tender loving care. That's all important. U is for unconditional support, and that just means all the resources necessary. Of course, the trusting people is a key part of that, too, is that they have the resource to do it. S is about sensitivity and awareness and just know what's going on and understanding there's more than one way to do something. And the T is just, you know, how do you connect? It was touch, but it's how do you tactile, which is connecting with them through all the sources that are available for us. And then just more recently, Stephen Covey came out with a new book called Smart Trust. And what he talks about, Smart Trust, says creating prosperity, energy, and joy in a low-trust world. And what he talks about in the book, he says, we've been living in such a low or no-trust environment for the last 3 or 4 years that business is kind of falling apart. And he gives some good examples, be it Congress or the president or other people where we're trusting politicians less and less and getting very critical of it, that it really affects how we do things. So we want to be able to kind of look at the best of it. And what he's saying is, the five actions of high-trust people, if you want to really create some results, is high-trust companies outperform low-trust companies for a lot of reasons. They choose to believe in trust, their operating system, building trust, about how they do things, which is important. It starts with themselves. They don't play the name game. There's transparency, really good at declaring their intent and assuming positive intent and intent of others. They do what they say they're going to do. That is so important. They follow through. And they lead out by extending trust to others first. And some really good examples of that. So I encourage you to read that book as well. So, part 13. This is kind of a PS and a bonus. And I love talking about this. It's called The Blind Side. If you want to see a real true-to-life movie about trust, watch The Blind Side, you know, with Sandra Bullock. But it's a true story of how in 2004, Leanne and Sean Tuohy, a couple with a daughter and son attending the same school in Memphis, Tennessee, as Michael Oather, who is now an offensive tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. He went from being homeless to living with them, and eventually they adopted him. It's a great story. I cried probably 6 times watching it because it's so powerful, because they just trusted. You know, everybody in the family was trusting, and it made a difference for him. In fact, he has a book out about it now. How I like to say it is, when you change just one thing for a person, you change everything. Trust goes a long ways. You can change your employee's opinion of you. You can change customers' opinion of you by extending this thing called trust. But if you just want to get a really good feeling, emotional look at trust, watch The Blind Side. So, part 14. As a tradesperson, what are some of the factors in creating trust? Well, let's look at them. Number one is about first impressions. And as has been said, first impressions are everything. One, it starts with how well and how quickly you answer the phone, the voice that comes across the phone, the interest by the tone and pace of the person, the attention to detail with them. Do they ask the right questions about meeting the time expectation of the caller when possible, answering all their questions, and even explaining the payment options? Two, when the service vehicle drives up, what does it look like? Pride of ownership, clean, good, easy-to-read signage and graphics, pictures. Three, how smart do your employees look? Uniform, well-dressed, well-pressed, appropriate to the service, good grooming habits, clean, well-spoken, which is what they say and how they say it. And four is the respect they show for your home or office. Is everything handled with tender, loving care and respect? TLC goes a long ways. It's about understanding the customer is always right from their point of view, which is why there must be clarity of the problem and cost options. Doesn't mean they're always right. Just from their point of view, they think they're right. And you can make them right without making them wrong by how you communicate with them, by asking the right questions. You really can't afford to make them wrong there. In other words, relationship and trust is created by the intangibles, which is how you make people feel about the whole experience, which includes a friendly greeting, attention, attentive, demonstration of respect, TLC, answering questions, asking the right questions, communication with honest answers, big smile, everything clean and organized and in its place, all important. You might want to consider a service audit. Ask a business associate or hire someone to visit your business or have a service call and record the experience. You might be surprised by what you learn by a person's real first honest experience of it. I've done it. I've done it for clients and do it for customers, and the results can be magical, especially when shared, and especially when shared from a learning, education, training point of view. Also, understand everyone to understand why customers complain. It could be something you have not done or explained properly or indifference to their problem or their expectation. Handle a complaint quickly and you retain the customer and the revenue for life of the customer. Make them happy because of the complaint and you get referral revenue as well. And also establish a rewards program if you don't have one now. So be it for referrals. So, for example, my landscape company offers a $50 cash referral for a neighbor or somebody else who starts using their service. And I do enjoy the advice they leave in written form after the visit. Or the reward could be for future discounts or first-in-line consideration, upsizes, or for travel miles. But they do create loyalty and trust. And trust, especially when they get to enjoy the reward. And one thing you might want to keep doing is keep reminding them of what their reward is they've earned through you, and they should utilize it, because that creates the trust that you have their best interests in mind. So, part 15. Let's look at some conclusions here. We're getting toward that. In a word, reputation. In a nutshell, speed to success. Trust can make any company more successful. A wonderful reputation that attracts more customers and better employees. Trust generates revenue and defines profits and successes. At the beginning of my presentation, a lot of the material really focuses on behavior, what you do, how you behave, and the question you need to ask yourself when it comes to reputation and trust. The core of this topic is what creates it. Trust is driven by behavior, what people see you do and their perception of it. Do you know how people see you? If not, you should find out. I've got two what I call self-tests that you can have for free to use to measure it. One is called Rating Your Self-Image Leadership Attributes, which measures the behaviors that drive loyalty, which include things like, are you enthusiastic, persistent, determined, positive thinker, could be positive speaker, do you smile, do you say hello, are you helpful, do you go out of the way, which is really important, are you sincere, which shows you care, which measures appearance, initiative, which is creativity, which is really taking care of the customer, and consistent and punctual. All good things to measure. And what I like to say is, even if you don't use the self-test, have people measure you, just work on one of those characteristics, one of those behaviors, 1 a week, and people will see a difference in you. The second is the Confidential Leadership Empowerment Satisfaction Survey / Retention Survey, and measures the core and critical behaviors that drive retention and, of course, create trust, which are things like respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, just a little bit. So do you treat people with courtesy, dignity, respect? It's about communication, which is the open, honest, two-way dialogue and actively listening. It's about alignment and trust, leading by example, and practicing what you preach, which means customer-driven, conscious improvement. It's about recognition and feedback, value contributions, and recognize service above and beyond. It's about empowerment, involving, consulting with, and empowering the employee. Insider information, keeping people informed about changes so they understand what's going on. It's about being the coach and the champion, about training tools, leadership, and it says, P.S. I really look forward to coming to work. All of those measure what this content has been about, and they're just in a really handy self-test. So you might kind of enjoy it. So I can email them to you and go to my website, www.bruceleespeaker.com, to download them or get off my free articles page on my website as well. So you can download them there. Part 16, conclusion number 2. So, how do you create and maintain trust? Do what you say you're going to do. Do it better than expectation. Be the best service provider that there is or is possible. Create the reputation for excellence, cost control, doing it right the first time, and being able to offer creative solutions to your customers' problems. Become the competition everyone else talks about and looks up to. Ensure the prospect or customer sees the real benefit to choosing you over anyone else. They see the professionalism. They see the attention to details. They see the commitment to helping them solve their problem in the fastest and most cost-effective way there is. Be it short-term or long-term, choose to be accountable for better results at all levels. In summary, making the content of this presentation pay off big time for you. Review the notes, listen to this again, see where you can improve, make changes, stop what is not working, embrace new ideas, open new markets, offer new services. Crystallize the 3 best ideas to start with, translate into real benefits of incorporating them, create a pocket of excellence in using them, challenge your people to be a big part of it, use a self-test, and if you want to get into your own coaching program, check out the coaching self-test available on my website called Coaching Skills Self-Assessment. Trust is everything. Embrace it, how to achieve it, how to maintain it. Your customer expects it, and your prospects hope for it. Deliver it with and through your employees. It starts with you every single day.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 800-432-7963. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 800-432-7963. The Small Business University audio series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.